Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church is pleased to present to you a summary of the message preached February 12, 2012, entitled The Sovereignty of Christ from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Join us as we read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The question I have is simply this: is there competition between the Father and the Son for sovereign rule? We read in this passage that the Father has been pleased to name Jesus as the firstborn, the preeminent one over all creation. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. We see from this passage that Jesus is pleased to serve the Father and bring glory to the Father and do only what he sees the Father doing. So we begin answering the question, is there competition between the Father and the Son for sovereign rule and authority? And the answer is becoming clear. If it hasn't already, the answer is no. There is no competition between the Father and Son. There's beautiful unity and harmony. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said, For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. In John chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said, The Father is in me, and I am in the Father, which speaks of the unity of the Father and the Son. This is Jesus. And then as he speaks in these passages, he describes the begottenness, his begottenness, if that's a word, that he is begotten of the Father. We'll see what this means. Begotten, it is defined by C.S. Lewis. He says this, when you beget something of the kind as yourself. A man begets human babies. A beaver begets little beavers. What God begets is God, just as what man begets is man. What God creates is not God, just as what man creates is not man. That is why men are not sons of God in the sense that Christ is. Jesus, in these passages we've read in John, describes his begottenness, the fact that he is the Son of God, born of the Father, begotten of the Father, begotten and not created. This is absolutely essential for our faith. The Bible tells us also in John, early in chapter 1, that the Son comes from the bosom. No, he is at the Father's side. He is from the bosom. He is begotten of the Father. The kinship, the perfect unity, the harmony between Father and Son is established clearly in the Scriptures. It says in John, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 44 and 45, When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. An unvarnished, unhindered picture of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke of the shared glory of the Father and the Son and expressed that shared glory in John 13, verses 31 and 32. He said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Here Jesus beautifully relates the perfect unity, the fullness, the joy, and harmony In John chapter 10, verse 30, it says, I and the Father are one. There's no competition between the Father and the Son. And we can rejoice in Christ all the more as our sovereign with this knowledge. We can rejoice in Christ and we can extol all His attributes and we can give praise to God the Father for God the Son. And this is where Paul summarizes so beautifully the majesty of the sovereign Christ that we claim, we adore, and worship. And we saw this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. So let's enjoy this passage and go through these a little bit. We've read them already, but let's zero in on words that just pop up off of this passage, out of this passage, that highlight His supremacy, the supremacy of Christ. In verses 17 and 18, we see Jesus, He's been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and we see Him revealed more and more and more in splendor and majesty in verses 17 and 18, but we can't neglect verses 15 and 16. I wanted to key in on verses 17 and 18 just for a moment, because in verse 18, Paul says He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. The word in the ESV and elsewhere, you'll find other translations rightly use the word preeminence. He's the first in everything. He's the first over everything. He is the preeminent one, the supreme one, the sovereign over all things. And this is what Paul points out in verses 15 through 17 of chapter 1, where the emphasis is on His sovereignty over all creation. He's the preeminent head. He's the sovereign, the King, the Lord, governing all creation. Let's see what Paul said. He is the image of the invisible God. Just what Jesus had told Philip, if you've seen Me, Philip, you've seen the Father. And here's what He says. He is the image of the invisible God. You wonder and you say, what's God like? Look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul writes, He's the firstborn over all creation. So He is the preeminent head. The firstborn doesn't mean that He was created. It doesn't mean that He was the firstborn, the first one made. But it's saying, Paul is making it clear, He's first in rank over all creation. He's the preeminent head. He's the supreme head. He's the sovereign head in rank and in uniqueness. He's begotten of the Father, not made and not created. This is essential doctrine for our Christian faith. We know from previous studies that Jesus is the eternal, pre-existent Son of God. And verse 16 tells us that He's sovereign over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things except Himself, all things except God the Father, all things except God the Holy Spirit, all other things have been created by the Christ who is the preeminent head over all things. He is the absolute sovereign over all things forever and ever and ever. We see Old Testament proof of this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah wrote, of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne forever. There will be no end. And forever are the two key phrase and words in this passage regarding looking forward to the Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, the most Old Testament of New Testament books, perhaps, it's written, and God put everything under His feet. And he goes on writing, in putting everything under Him, He left nothing that is not subject to Him. We make the absolute claim as Christians that Jesus Christ has absolute sovereignty over everything forever and ever and ever. Our Jesus, our majestic Lord Jesus, is Savior and Lord. He governs all things, even the details. And we take comfort in this knowledge, knowing that He governs all the details of life. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that He is not only our sovereign in general, but He is our sovereign sustainer. He sustains all things. Contrary to the opinions of a lot of people and to many philosophies that say that there may have been an intellectual being that made and designed all things, but He set it in motion and just turned it loose. We believe that it's Christ who sustains all things. He didn't just spin this big ball and let it go. It tells us in verse 17, in Him, all things hold together. All things hold together. He's the supreme, preeminent, sovereign head, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Now, there's multiple vistas in Scripture from which we view Christ as sustainer. It's not only a claim made in Colossians chapter 1. We know that He is the creator of all things, and as creator, He is responsible to sustain all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this regarding God, and it says, then His Son, whom God appointed heir of all things. Now, if He's heir of all things, He will hold fast to those things and sustain those things of which He is the heir of, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of the glory of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. So He's the heir of all things, and He sustains all things, those things of which He is the heir of. One man said one time, Jim Livengood in the Sunday school class said, He is the nuclear glue, sustaining all things, holding all things together. And as heir, He will guard His glory and cherish these things that the Father has given Him, to keep them, to love them, to perpetuate them, to hold fast to them for the glory of the Father and the honor of the Son. And as sustainer, He raises up in this world. He raises nations and brings nations down. The rise and fall of nations, the rise and fall of great men and women are determined by God the Son, who sustains all things. All things hold together, even you, even your life. Your very life is held together by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Which leads us to our third point, focusing in on verse 18, that He is the sovereign source of all things. He is the sovereign source of the church, His body, and the sovereign source of life for His new creation. It says that He is the head of His church. He's the sovereign governor of the church. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of Christ by using the example of a husband and wife in marriage, a husband in relation to His church. Christ is that husband. He portrays Him as the Savior, laying down His life for His bride. He is portrayed as the sanctifier, as He feeds her with the Word of God. He satisfies her with His presence, and He sequesters her by taking her away with Him. Christ is the head of the church in this manner. He is the head of the church as Lord. Jesus, or she, the church, confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. This is the oldest creed in the church, the declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. And she waits for His return as husband, as He comes to take her to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And as the one who sustains the church and satisfies the church and sequesters the church and takes her away, He continues to build His church, building His church on the word of the prophets and the apostles. As the church loves each other, builds up one another in love, in our church, Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship, we make it our ambition to preach Christ, to encourage one another with this gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be those that are known for this, that we rely on, that we rest in, and that we continually return to Christ in repentance Do you or I? I know I do. We must be people that are willing to repent and turn to our Lord that we might behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And finally, we see Jesus and his preeminence and his supremacy and his sovereignty most clearly as he has impacted our lives first and most as Savior. We realize him first as our Savior. He is the Savior of the church, of his new creation. He is the preeminent head, the sovereign king, the Lord and Savior of his new creation. Chapter 1, verse 18, the last part says, he is the beginning and firstborn from the dead. He is preeminent in the resurrection. He's the first in rank in resurrection. His death became the death of death to all who have trusted him for salvation. His death destroyed the devil's hold on death. He has saved us from condemnation. He has saved us from eternal separation from God because he is first in rank. He is the preeminent one in the resurrection. And as firstborn from the dead, it says here, firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. This becomes key because just as the Feast of First Fruits in the Old Testament demonstrated that this first reaping from the field was a representative of the entire harvest, so Christ, as the risen head of the church, is the representative of his church, giving us hope that as he was raised from the dead, so shall we through faith in him according to the grace of God. His preeminent supremacy, his sovereignty is the key to this passage as Paul makes this declaration. And the bottom line for us is if you turn from him at any time, who is our head, and you choose to go your own way, know this, that you have no other hope in anyone or anything else. Christ is all in all. Turn to him today. And Christian, if you're like me, you're in desperate need of repentance. Repent, for you have nowhere else to go. He is our everything, our hope, our sovereign, our sustainer, our source, and our Savior. Please don't ignore him today. Believe on him and receive him as the preeminent head of the church and his new creation. Thank you for listening to this summary of the message preached on February 12th, 2012, entitled, The Sovereignty of Christ.